Well, it's great to have Brian and Becky and the whole team back with us again today. Their conference was in Nashville, and they've decided to go national, you know. I'm just kidding. That wasn't very funny. But it's great to see all of you. Folks, I say this with a certain sense of urgency. I know most of you generally are. A lot of folks, you know, in any of our services are new or visiting. How would you like to have your family, your children, or others renounce you and say that you can no longer see them or their children? Because you are here? What would that be like? Well, we have at least 10 people in this building today who are in that category. You just never know. And they're suffering. So when you pass in the halls, you don't always know who you're passing. Some of you are very new, and some of you are a little timid about your good people, your friendly people. But you just never know what condition people are in. And you think, well, they may have been here longer than I have. And so you're feel a little timid. Don't feel that way. Reach out to people, because there are people you may be passing who need you to reach out to them. You don't know them. You don't know who they are. You don't know their circumstances. Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray for men and women, boys and girls who face the kind of circumstances and others that we just mentioned. We pray that your grace would surround them. The love and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be with them, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that in these walls today, each may be uplifted. We pray the Word of God may go forth with edifying influence, ministering as needed in each and every case. We pray for those who are unable to be here for reasons not of their own choosing. And we pray that you would protect them, minister to them. And we pray for our sick that you would heal them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, as we continue our series from the book of Proverbs, in case you haven't been here, been on vacation recently, how to live smart in a foolish age. Today we're talking about words of wisdom to the hearing impaired. Now we'll be looking at many texts as this message moves along, because it's a thematic study, as I've explained to you. But we will open with this text: a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man or a woman of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Now, I like to set things in context. I'm always uncomfortable when I don't have a context for whatever is happening. So let me set this message in a broader biblical context. When it comes to the wisdom of God, the human race generally is afflicted with impaired hearing. As a matter of fact, the truth is, spiritual hearing is a gift of God. And that's why the Lord Jesus, on a number of occasions, you may recall in the Gospels, appended to his teaching this admonition: let him who has ears, let him hear. Hearing is not a matter, spiritual hearing is not a matter of native intelligence. It's often, the impairment is often a matter of human resistance. People don't hear the Word of God because they won't. They put up walls. People willfully stop their ears against the truth. And the price they pay for refusing God's salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ is eternal perdition. They don't want to believe that, but it's the truth. Unless God in his mercy chooses to relieve that hearing impairment, it's everlastingly fatal. That is why we as a church in a providence of God or on this property. We sit here in this place. We exist to call and beseech our generation so much as within our reach. As many as God gives ears to hear, to believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. And by our message, we indirectly condemn forever those who spit in God's face, spurn his love, spurn his full pardon for their sins through the atoning blood of Jesus. Now, this hearing impairment that I'm talking about tends in many instances to extend not just to the way of salvation, but to extend to the laws of life, the laws of temporal life, to matters of practical wisdom. Human beings are not only stubborn and resistant about rejecting the way of eternal life in Christ, but also we are sometimes very hard of hearing. Some of us sitting here, some of us, all of us have been in this situation where we were hard of hearing about how God says to order our temporal affairs. It's just a liability of our fallen, prideful human condition. So by grace and the revelation of God, we believers can live smarter in a foolish age. But we must learn, folks, to get our ears on. We must learn, one, to listen, period. And two, we must learn who to listen to. For people do not listen well, the people who do not listen well, will not get along well in the ways that really matter in life. In his grace, God's greatest gift to believers and to all who receive Christ is eternal life. He gives us a future, which the average man or woman out there in the street does not have. They're living on fumes right now. They're existing. They're not living. In Christ, we have the assurance of the physical resurrection. We have the assurance of a place in the eternal coming kingdom of God and life everlasting in the presence of Christ. But for right now, continuing with context, God has given you and I a place and a purpose in this temporal plane. To fulfill that place and purpose, we must live smarter in a foolish age. We must learn better and better how to live wisely on this world's terms as long as we're in this world. And for that, you and I have a huge advantage. God has given us an advantage over unbelievers who thumb their arrogant noses at him. He has given us the treasure of his special revelation in the form of the scriptures mediated to us by his Holy Spirit. You and I, thankfully, do not need to plod and plot our way through this temporal life like most, dumb as a box of nails. Brilliant in all the things that matter less and stupid in the things that matter most. For many people, including believers, did you hear what I said? For many people, including believers, struggle in this life is unnecessary in some respects. People, even believers, may succeed in worldly ways. They may make a lot of money, live in a big house, drive fancy cars, da 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 da. But they tend to lurch from one mess after another because they have never learned. They have never learned the first rule of making a good run. And what is that? L-I-S-E-N. That's a gift. We're going to talk about that. And I have a lot of, I hope, helpful and enlightening illustrations that will kind of burn it, tattoo it onto our consciousness. The first thing for us to note is not deep, but it's so simple we often overlook it. Number one, we're going to unpack all this. Wisdom may be dispensed orally, but it is acquired orally with the ears. And there is where things go missing. Let's talk about this. Every wise teacher or mentor, you may be one of them, was first a wise listener or learner. The early Roman historian, Livy, L-I-V-Y, he said, it caught my attention when I read it, he said of the great Carthaginian general, Hannibal, the great general who almost came within a gnat's whisker of overthrowing Rome. Livy said of him that his great father first taught Hannibal to obey, listen, then to lead, to command. Anybody who can't listen, man or woman, anybody who can't listen is not fit to lead. Not fit to lead a navy, not fit to lead a nursery. Nobody is so natively wise that they do not need the counsel of others. As I've read history, and I read a lot of it, so many train wrecks happen, have happened, and will happen again because of a lack of ears. The tragic reign of King Saul of Israel and his failed regency is testimony to what happens to people who just can't hear. It's not just leaders who need to listen. Sometimes it's husbands. I was recording my radio program on Genesis, which is not up for a while, thinking about Abraham and Sarah. Those were days, as Peter tells us, when godly women were respectful to their husbands, and in that era, called them Lord. Remember that, Aussie. Well, but one day, Sarah's socks were frosted. She had this adopted son, Ishmael. Nothing wrong with that. But when she got her natural son and she saw Ishmael giving Isaac, a three-year-old, a teenager giving Isaac a very hard time, she rose up and she said, no, 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 that kid will not be an heir. Women didn't do that kind of thing in those days. Her spirit was wrong, but her opinion was right. It was God's plan. And Abraham didn't get up and say, woman, who the heck are you to be talking to me like that? Do you know who I am? I am Abraham, your husband. Thou shalt not. Well, in that culture, he had every right to. But he listened. And God reinforced that by telling Abraham, she's right. Sometimes husbands in their pride, they just don't listen. They don't listen to their wives. And sometimes, parents. Sometimes we may need to listen better to our children. Sometimes. It's not usually, but sometimes. They're saying things that we might need to hear. The years have taught me to watch as not only a person but as a Christian leader. They've taught me to watch for that virtue or vice. I quickly lose faith, and I've expressed this many times, or interest in any person who shows me that they've come unequipped with ears. It may be a vice on my part, but in my impatience, I quickly wash my hands of them and move on. Many years ago, Thomas Friedman, a liberal secular pundit that many of you may know and a best-selling author, a man whose politics I have no use for, wrote a best-selling book entitled The World is Flat. It had to do with global economy. It had to do with advice I gave a young person last week who said they were going into accounting. And from that book, I told him that, well, if you're going into accounting, be sure as you go through college that you get a value added and that you're just not in a generic accountant, because they could ship your job overseas. Get something, an extra language, get something that gives you value added. Anyway, it's on the basis of Thomas Friedman's book. I acquired that little bit of wisdom. I guess every CEO in America was reading that book, The World is Flat. Some of you probably read it. So I thought, you know, that would be good. This is a long, long time ago. This would be good for some of our staff to read. So I brought it to a staff meeting one Monday morning, and a couple of the younger staff were immediately dismissive. And they said, we've lived through that. And then followed with words, I don't remember the exact words, it has nothing to contribute to us. Right there, I realized what I'd been long suspecting. I had a couple of guys who were useless to the church, useless to me, but more importantly, I felt useless to God. Because whatever their intelligence, and this has nothing to do with intelligence, it has to do with resistance. They didn't have ears. And not too long afterward, they were history. And that was a good thing for everybody. Ossie and I had a dear friend in another city. He was one of those guys, you've met them, some of you kind of fit in that category. They're able to do almost anything and do it well. If they've seen it done once, they don't need to go to school. They can do it. They amaze me. He was so good, and he was also affable, that we all, including his wife, urged him to go into business. Don't just work for the... You can do this. And he eventually did. Just one problem. He was consistently underbidding his projects. Naturally, he kept losing money. Well, his wife, who was very business keen, like her father was, she kept telling him, his name is not George, but I'll call him George. George, honey, let me do your cost estimates. Let me do the cost analysis. You do the work. You're great at the work. You're not great at this. I am. Let me do it. Well, he wasn't hateful or anything. He was just prideful about that. No, it's my business. I'll do it. Well, you guessed. It wasn't long until he was out of business, and it was a shame because he's a workman you'd love to have had. But it didn't work for one reason, no ears. If someone's going to be a successful hunter, I'm not a big hunter, but I've hunted. I know one thing, you got to shut up and listen. You can't walk through the woods, hey Jack, how are you? You know, you got to shut up and listen. As well as watch. If we're going to negotiate dark forests in life, we need to know how to be still and listen. The second point to make here, God has left a sign in our physiognomy, left a sign of the proper proportion of faculties. You've heard this. One mouth, two ears. There's a lesson there. Listen to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Listen to 19:27. Cease listening, my son, to discipline. Just stop that, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. I've read Proverbs many times, and these things make an imprint on me. The second major point is this. A wise man, wise woman, wise person differs from a fool, most notably in the mouth and the ears. I think everybody knows that a coral snake differs from a king snake, but very deceptive difference. A rattlesnake differs from a bull snake, but it can fool you. Some toxic mushrooms look deceptively like safe mushrooms, and fools can pose as wise men or wise women. First appearances can be deceiving. Well, I guess somebody just turned their ears on. I don't know. So a fool can project himself or herself like a wise person. The difference being that the wise person has two long ears, whereas the other just comes with strong opinions. There's nothing wrong with strong opinions. They may be right, they may be wrong, but without two big ears, they're dangerous. Because a wise person, above all, fears and reverences God, his ear is first and foremost attuned to the voice of God. He listens chiefly to God. We start there. That means that a wise man, a wise woman, ponders God's written word. I don't know whether you know it, because this is my work and because I have to read and study things that most of you don't during the week. I'm aware more. You just have no idea, most of you, I think, just what's going on in the modern church world. You have no idea of the cave-in because people, and that includes Christian leaders, people are not paying attention to God's word. They're looking at studies show this and studies show that and this shows this, but God's word says this. It's not only important to have good ears, but you got to know who to listen to. And first of all, we listen to God and we seek out God's will. I have found, I was thinking about this early this morning, thinking about the message. I'm not too impulsive. I maybe used to be when I was younger. I don't know if I was, but certainly as I've gotten older, though I'm impatient, I'm not particularly impulsive. I like to think before I act. But when I've gotten impulsive and not asked the Lord about what I was about to do, but in my impatience plunged ahead. Of course, I can't recall those situations, but I can recall a pattern. Nearly always I made a mistake. Nearly always. You got to know who to listen to, not just listen. You listen chiefly to God and you ponder God's written word. You seek God's will. This is a dangerous statement I'm about to make. I do not mean it in the Pentecostal sense. But a wise person listens for the voice of the Spirit. I mean, there are times that we're just moving along in life. And we're about to do something. And the Spirit seems to say, I don't mean a voice from heaven, but we just seem to say, I'd think again about that. Or, Jim, do you think maybe you ought to do X or Y? And then we do it. And lo and behold, we find out that was a prompting of the Spirit of God. Fourthly, we double check our impressions. I had somebody say a while back about a matter that much too long and not impertinent here. But they said, oh, this is going to be fine. The Lord gave me this. Well, it turned out the Lord didn't give it at all. It was a disaster. So sometimes it's good, again, to have ears and to listen to God, but maybe to listen to some of God's wise people before we act. So I would say, in addition to listening to God, the wise man or wise woman listens to the church. Now, you can't call the church together for a meeting. You'll understand the spirit of this, but let me explain this a little more fully. Over my long years in the ministry, I've seen the downfall of a great many church leaders. 56 years, not counting the time that I spent growing up. Some were well known, some not so much so. But some of the ones I'm familiar with share familiar traits. several traits. It's that they won't listen to the church. I have a radio program, The Final Word, as most of you are regular here know. We've been on 16 years. I inherited that spot. It just came about in the providence of God because of the failure of a Christian leader, not around here. He wouldn't listen. Dumbhead. Blockhead. So smart, so successful, but he didn't listen. I've seen it again and again. I don't know how long ago, some of you might remember, you recall the famous, I'd say infamous, Assemblies of God TV evangelist Jimmy Swaggart? Well, he was exposed for trafficking with prostitutes. Huge scandal. Well, he belonged to the Assemblies of God denomination, and their authorities immediately put him under discipline. That lasted for a week or less. Shortly ignoring their disciplinary measures, he's not the only one, he was right back at it as if nothing ever happened. He was an independent operator, independent of even God himself. Guy had no ears. Had a heart problem, big time. But along with that, he had an ear problem. I could cite other instances where former leaders ignored the authorities over them and launched out to do their own thing, despising both the voice of the church and the voice of God. People like that are just fools in drag. See, a wise person, man or woman, listens to the voice of better experience. Historically, not just recently, there's always been generational tension. We all know that. I'm not telling you any new thing. There's been a tendency in every generation, Will and Ariel Durant talk about it in their multi-volume series on history, in every generation for mature men or women to underestimate young people, and the tendency of younger people to underappreciate the wisdom and knowledge of their elders. That tension's always been there. It's always going to be. There are young fools, but there are old fools also. When my father was still living, Ossie and I would visit my parents, whether from Denver or from here, back in Roanoke, Virginia, where they were then living. I was in my physical prime in those days, and when I visited, I tried to be physically helpful, though my parents were not weak. They looked older to me, just like I look older to some of you. Anyway, I tried to be helpful, and on one occasion, a friend had stacked a whole cord of wood, oak, in their driveway near their garage. Well, with the best intentions and without asking, I went out back, seized an axe, reared the axe back to my buttocks, and with great Paul Bunyan-like strokes, I started splitting Dad's wood. Well, he caught on to what I was doing out back, and he came to watch Superman in action. There was only one problem, folks. As I kept striking the oak with all that mighty force, that oak humiliated me in front of my dad. The blade would penetrate just deeply enough to get stuck in the wood, time after time after time. I was expending more sweat and energy extracting the dumb axe from the logs than actually splitting them. You can see the picture. But hey, that was just the way it was. The answer always was the same with me when I was doing physical labor, which made me dangerous to anybody. Attack, attack, kill something if I had to, but attack it. I won't yield to the work will yield to me, dad blame it, attack. I will win. I didn't. Dad watched this comedy for a while. He at 18 had been the log chopping champion at the West Virginia State Forest Festival. And that was no mean distinction in that state at that time. And so he finally says to me, quietly, "Jimmy, I think you're working harder than you need to be." This is the voice of experience. "Let me show you something that might help." So he came over and he carefully set up a log, just like I'd been doing. Then he invited me to watch him line up the grain. Then, lifting the axe just above his head, stroke after stroke, log after log, the stubborn wood, he split up as easily as I could cut up a piece of cream pie. Talk about feeling stupid. But Dad was just the voice of informed experience. He had been there, done that, and he was a first-class woodsman, and his son had no experience. Well, listen to these scriptures. Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." 10:8. "The wise of heart receive commands, but the babbling fool will be thrown down." See it all the time. Chapter 12, verse 1. "Whoever loves discipline," instruction, the word means the same thing in the Hebrew, "loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is stupid." I would have been so dumb had I told my father, "Oh, Dad, get on out of here. You know, I'll take care of this." That would have been really dumb. 17:10. "A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool." You can't get through to him. 18, verse 15. "The mind of the prudent, the wise, acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." 19:25. "Strike a scoffer." Well, the simple little guy over here may become shrewd. He may benefit. But reprove one who has understanding, and they'll gain from it. They'll profit because they've got ears. 23:9. "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool." Don't waste your breath once you learn them. I've learned that. Don't even waste your breath. Don't even try to correct them. They're incurable. "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." Oh, we know that. Yeah, you do. 25:12, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. People who have ears really, really appreciate that. The wise, in other words, will always value, they'll recognize and they'll value the voice of wisdom. They'll shut up, they will listen, they'll take it seriously, and they'll say, whether it's the things of God or practical matters, "Ooh, this person knows more than I do. I should just listen." Fools regularly, it's their nature, regularly despise wise counsel. They know it all. Their brains cannot be penetrated by a pneumatic drill. Save yourself a lot of time if you learn that. You know, in coaching, sometimes you have players that just can't learn. Once in a while, you'll have a great player. Let's say in basketball, because that really fits here. And he's good or she's good. They're really good. Really good. Far superior to the rest of the team. They'll get frustrated because the team is not winning. And all of a sudden they'll go out and say, okay, I got to take over the game. And so they get the ball and basically it becomes a one-man drama or one-woman drama. And they try to take over. Coach will take them aside. We'll call him John. "John, son, you're really talented. You're very good. But it's a team game. Stay within the game. The flow of the game. you'll do better, the team will do better. Some people just can't get that. Next major point. Success and failure in any enterprise often hangs on two good ears. My experience has been that leaders, I'm not talking about just church leaders, but especially them, but business leaders and others, many of you are in business. You have people working under you. My experience has been that leaders fail for one reason more than any other. My experience. They will not listen. At one of the institutions where I taught, we had a president whom, frankly, I liked very much. We got along. Most of the faculty was a little afraid of him, though he didn't really do anything to cause that. It was just who he was. He had a lot of natural leadership skills, and he was personable. He was not insular. That was all good. He was intelligent, as you might expect. So what's the problem? In some ways, he was dynamic. He had one fatal flaw. Do you have that one? What was it? For all of his good points, he didn't even have one ear. He was always convinced of his own wisdom, and over the years I found nothing could dissuade him from his course. As far as I know, I was the only one on the faculty bold enough to try. It was clear to me the school was on the wrong track, and through some of his own decisions. And I loved the school, and I very much wanted to rescue it. Though we never had an ugly clash over these things, he was determined to do things his own way. Ultimately, it cost him his job, and he went out a bitter man. If only it had two ears, he could have finished his career right there and left a great legacy. A shame, because he had all the other parts. Just couldn't listen. Having seen that deficit in leaders, both secular and spiritual, too many times at some point way back there, and I don't know when it was, I made a conscious decision. I know it was in force when I came to Lake, that I would risk any image of being a strong man, because I hate weakness. But I was going to risk that by listening to the counsel of others. And frankly, at times I've carried it too far, because my instincts, I've learned over the years, are generally pretty good. But sometimes I'm so determined not to follow that example, but just listen, that I've overrode my own instincts and listened perhaps to voices I should not have listened to. But I'd rather make that mistake than be a stubborn person who just can't hear anybody. Nobody's all that smart. Nobody. That's why kings and presidents surround themselves with experts and advisors who have the intelligence and the expertise to help them make decisions. Now listening, let me say this, they're very important. Having ears does not mean ignoring all your own instincts. I've done that at times. It does not mean setting aside your personal knowledge and doing what the people around you think best. It means weighing carefully and as objectively as possible what others advise, and then doing what seems the best thing in light of the best information from the best advisors. It means it in the home too, and in other places. Listen to these scriptures. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but an abundance of counselors, there is victory. Yeah. You want to get people around you, family things, other things. I want to know. I really want to know. I've got a wise wife. I'm very fortunate. Very, very fortunate. I cannot tell you how many blunders I would have made, blunders, capital B, over the years without Jimmy. Honey, I don't think I would do that. Honey, I don't think I would say that. So I never write a sensitive email without running it by her. And 3/4 of them, she frustrates the life out of me, saying, well, I'd change this. Oh, see, I don't have a week to write that. You know, kind of stuff. But it turns out to be wise. Sometimes your wife, or sometimes your husband. Ask, check. Sometimes it's your good friend, whoever. But when you know people, but you want to ask people who won't tell you what you're determined to hear. Proverbs 24:6, for by wise guidance you will wage war, kings are told, leaders are told, and an abundance of counselors there is victory. Restatement of the same idea. Chapter 13, verse 10, through presumption comes nothing but strife, but with those who receive counsel is wisdom. Proverbs 20:18, prepare plans by consultation. Don't just go off in a corner, do it all and say, here it is, people. And by war, make wise guidance. That's one of the benefits of having elders in a church. There are too many churches these days. Churches can go wrong several ways, but there are too many churches where pastors just become resident tyrants. They call all the shots and they tell everybody the way it's going to be. And if they have a board, the board just lays down. I value having elders. Lots of times we've avoided problems, you know, just by having their insights and their wise counsel. It's a good thing to have. You need that. He who hates reproof, the counsel of correction, will die. Proverbs 15:10. So let me tell you something quickly about people who listen. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. You find out, oh, here I was going to do all that work. It's already been done. I'm glad they knew. I didn't. They have more wit and wisdom to work with, people who listen. See, they enlist more support. If you're just out there on your own, people will leave you on your own. You bring others in on it, well, they're more willing to participate in it. People who listen are more sure-footed. And people who listen are more adept at sorting out the truth. They listen, they filter, and in the end, because they're listeners, they're probably natively wise people, they begin to figure out where the truth lies. It's not infallible. So, in his common grace, grace that God is not limited to believers, like sunshine and rain, common grace, fertility and the fecundity of the earth, adaptability to different climates and conditions. God has vested general wisdom, in some cases, to unbelievers. Listen, that's why I like to read. Many of you do too. That's why I read history. If you don't know history, you've heard the saying, those that are ignorant of history are doomed to what? Repeat it. So our ears start first with revelation. That's the benchmark and the plumb line of truth. But then we get our ears on and we listen to the wisdom that God has given with others. Not only your companions, but sometimes God can even speak to your critics. Huh? Yeah, that's the hardest of all. But I wasn't the first to note that. But I have noted it. Sometimes my critics may be wrong, but there may be a grain of truth in what they're saying that if I have ears, okay, I know where they're getting that. And that's good to know. What a treasure we have, we believers, in the revelation of God. What a treasure we have in one another, in whom God's Spirit dwells. And what a treasure you could have if you're an unbeliever, to know Him in Christ Jesus by grace through faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so very, very much for all of Your goodness, for all of your grace, for all of your wisdom, which has been imparted to us through the scriptures. We really have a treasure of it here in the book of Proverbs. We pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to obey. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.